Hare Krishna. So, today we'll be reading a verse spoken by one of our 12 Mahajanas. We have heard there are 12 Mahajanas on the path of devotional service. Swayambhu, Narada, Sambhu, Kumaro, Kapilo, Manu, Pralado, Bhishmo, Janako, Ballir, Vyasakir, Vayam. So, one of them, Mahajan, who is one of the great personalities in Mahabharata, also in Battle of Kurukshetra, was Pitama Bhishma. And we have all heard that how he is a great pure devotee to the Lord, although he fought on the side of Kauravas. And before the fight, when he was in sense of morality obliged to take part on the sides of Kauravas, he gives one moral instructions, or he just tell a moral fact to Maharaj Yudhishthir. So we'll take that verse today and have some discussion on it. So the verse is written over there. I will read and you can follow. Dhanasya purushah dasah. Dhanam dasanukaschana. Iti satyam maharaja. Bandhosmi dhanena kauravahi. Translation. The man is a servant of the wealth, dhan. But the wealth never becomes the servant of anyone. O Maharaj Yudhishthir, I am saying the truth because I myself has been bound by the wealth of the Kauravas. So here Maharaj Yudhishthir is being told by Pitama Bhishma and why he is forced to take the side of the Kauravas, because we have heard actually there are various types of reasons. The main reason being he is a devotee of the Lord and Lord wants him to fight on that side. But at the same time, Lord is giving many instructions to this one incident. So one of the points over here which the Pitama Bhishma is telling, that how in this material world, potentially as Maharani Kunti has pointed out, these material assets like wealth, birth, they need not be bad in nature, they need not be dangerous in their own quality, but potentially they can prove to be very dangerous for a man, especially a devotee in spiritual life. So here today we'll begin our discussion. In the first section of our discussion we'll discuss, not especially with reference to devotees, but how overall the wealth, it can spoil the intelligence of even great people. In Bhagavad Gita also Lord Krishna has told, Traividyam narka seddam dwaram nashanam atmanah kamam krodham tatha lobham tasmar ekam trayam trajet. And oh Arjun, you have to give up these three things. Kamam krodham tatha lobham. Lust, anger and greed. So there is a difference between these two. Greed and wealth. Greed is very difficult. It has to be given up. But wealth as such can be very useful, especially in the Krishna consciousness movement. For the devotional life, wealth can be useful. But at the same time, just like when we are using a very sharp instrument, like drilling machine, something. So before using that, we have been told some safety instructions. Otherwise, like diamond cutting machine is very sharp. Diamond is one of the hardest, hardest substance. So cut that, a very sharp machine is required. With the sharp machine, we can cut diamonds and make beautiful diamonds. But when we are operating that machine, we have to be highly careful as well. So similarly, this dhana which Maharaj Bhishma is pointing out over here, Pitama Bhishma, is not exactly bad in nature. Sometimes, like Mayavadis, we need not abhor, say, though this is wealth given up. But we have to be very careful. It is very risky. So we have to be extreme, just like when we are handling a diamond cutting machine. In fact, it is a very useful machine. But we have to be extremely careful while handling it. Similarly, any material assets of knowledge, birth, wealth, beauty, they can be very nicely used in Krishna's service. Any assets, intelligent qualities. But we have to be, at the same time, in this material world, we have to be extremely careful while possessing these things. When we have a very sharp instrument, we keep them very carefully. We don't just keep them here and there, otherwise people might get cut with it. Similarly, these things are there which are very dangerous. And in this material world, these things actually can bewilder a man's intelligence. As Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, that even a man of control intelligence, control mind, are sometimes bewildered. Just like sometimes a very nice boat is taken away in a wind. Even Chanakya Pandit, actually we see in this world, as Prahlad Maharaj has said, money is sweeter than honey. In this world, people go down to any level. They are ready to do any types of acts just to get few rupees. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the future of Kali Yuga, in the present the situation is not so bad, that a brother will murder a brother only for a rupee or two. Only for few rupees a brother may murder. Today we see they fight in courts, but in the future of Kali Yuga they will just kill each other for just few rupees. So we see this influence, negative influence of the wealth or money is so bad that man can start lying, cheating. I have seen, because I travel sometimes in bus and trains, many times I see this one incidents which I commonly observe. Sorry, some of us might have been prey to it, but don't feel hurt. That when we travel, I see always the bus conductor or the TC in the railway is arguing with her parents of a child who is around 10-12 years old. He is always arguing. He is a full ticket. No, he is half ticket. And I have seen many times these people are rich, they are wealthy. Not that they are dying out of hunger for a few 5, 10, 20 rupees. But just for the 10, 20 rupees to save, that kick is there. That my son is more than 12 years old, but I took a half ticket. Almost everyone has have been have seen or have been influenced by this type of behavior. But practically we see, it's not the most of the cases, the people are not so poor that by that 10, 20 or even 100 rupees something big is going to happen. But that greed, that just to save some few rupees for material sense gratification, they give up morality, speaking lies, arguing. They'll argue with the conductor for so much time, and then conductor asks the child in which class you are. And if he says, I mean, the child is very honest because he has not been spoiled. He says, I'm in 8th standard. Then the thing is spoiled. If he says 6th standard, then it's okay. If he says 7th or 8th standard, then the father is in the catch. The point is, the people are, most of the cases which I see while traveling, they are not so poor. In the sense, they are quite well off many times. 100 or 50 rupees is not going to make actually a big difference in their life. But this, as I said, this wealth, this money, just paper of some particular color can make man do any type of behavior. Speaking lies, cheating, big corruption, forgery. We hear in India, in Bombay stock market, people have done forgeries to a limit of crores, thousands of crores of rupees. What exactly was the end? Like, how much they can spend? Even if you stay in 5-star hotel every day, eat the 5-star hotel food every day, how much you can spend in a life? Few crores of rupees. Even if you have crores of rupees to fly everywhere in the world, but how much actually you can fly? How much? But this is such a big craze that for this money. Therefore, Pitama Bhishma is saying that dhanasya purusha dasa, of the wealth, a man becomes servant. But the beautiful part is, wealth is never servant of any man. It becomes the boss. It controls the people to behave in the way it wants to. And sometimes I possess some wealth and I think it's mine. And suppose, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, it falls into the hand of my enemy, the same wealth is used to destroy me. So it's a very complex situation in this world. And if we go, before going ahead, I would like to take you back 5,000 years in the beginning of Kali Yuga. How this paper currency itself is beginning with cheating. And Srila Prabhupada also comments how this wealth, especially in Kali Yuga, previously it was wealth, but especially in Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga wealth is always attached with falsity, cheating, everything, all bad qualities. Because the beginning of wealth is that. 5,000 years back, when Maharaj Parikshit was ruling the planet, after the Pandavas retired timely, then Maharaj Parikshit could observe that in his kingdom, there were some wrong things happening. People were getting little attached, little cheating each other. All these things were happening. So Maharaj Parikshit decided to find out the cause. And because he was traveling, he found a low-class man, which are all symptoms of Kali Yuga. A low-class man dressed as a king. That means he has become in charge of the power. Persons in Kali Yuga who are not actually qualified to be kings or the ministers and like that, they take power. And he is hurting the cow and the bull. Immediately Maharaj Parikshit took out the sword. And because this Kali took shelter, he was excused from death. But then this Kali asked, please give me some place to stay. He asked, Abhyasida tada tasmai, sthanani kalaye dadau, dyutam panam tada sunyam, yatra adharma chaturvidha. This Kali was given four places to stay where he can flourish. Abhyasthida tada tasmai. At that time when he asked that please give me some places to stay, sthanani kalaye dadau. Kali was given these four places. Dyutam panam stiya sunam. Where there is gambling, intoxication, illicit sex and meat eating. Yatra adharma chaturvidha. So Maharaj Parikshit told, because you have taken shelter and if you want to stay in my kingdom, you stay in such places where these four things are happening. And as we have heard the history, that Maharaj Parikshit gave these four places, but Kali went all over the earth 5,000 years back and did not find a single place where these four things were, any of these four things happening. There was not a single place where there was intoxication, gambling, meat eating and illicit sex. Within 5,000 years, the situation has changed so much, there is not a single place where neither of these four things are happening. Every lane, there is all these things are happening. Every lane, every neighborhood. But at that time, Kali did not find a single place all over the earth, even in the west, which we call it. Not, and now west has come to east. So even in India, India is not anyway backward country, you know. Especially Mumbai is not at all backward. In fact, in some ways, it may be more forward than the west, you know. So he did not find a single place all over the world. So he came back to Maharaj Parikshit. He said, it's not correct. You have given me that you stay there, but there's not a single place like that. Like suppose someone comes to me and says, please give me some place to stay. So I give him a fictitious address. Room number 205, Sita building, AYZ road, which doesn't exist at all. So I say, okay, I give this house to you. Go and stay. But this man will never find that house. Because that doesn't exist. So this Kali came back and he said, you have given me some place to stay, but it's not very fair because there is no such place in your kingdom. So punascha yachmanaya jata rupam adat prabhu. Maharaj Parikshit, what did he give? Punascha yachmanaya. When Kali came and he said, please give me some another place to stay. Punascha yachmanaya jata rupam adat prabhu. Jata rupam is gold. Because tatha anurutam madam kamam rajo vairam cha panchamam. He said these places were asked. He asked, please give me another place. So fifth place he gave. He said, where there is jata rupam, that is unwanted or extra storage of gold or wealth. Previously the wealth was counted in the form of gold. There were basically gold coins and silver coins. There was not rupees, paper rupees or even dollars. There were actually solid gold coins and silver coins being circulated in the society. So Maharaj Parikshit gave him the fifth place to stay, where there is extra unnecessary hoarding, storage, hoarding of gold. And Maharaj Parikshit said, because tataha means after that, wherever there is extra hoarding of gold, wealth, what will come? Anurutam. Falsity. We just saw how falsity happens in my traveling experience. of this age of the child. So immediately where there is unnecessary hoarding of wealth which is not used properly, this greed is there, falsity will certainly follow. Anrutam madam. Madam means intoxication or illusion. Kamam, lust. Rajah, passion. And vairam, envy and animosity. This wealth is very famous to create animosity between big two friends, brothers, husband and wife. Sometimes we see, actually before going to next topic, Srila Prabhupada, about this, when he would discuss this topic of Maharaj Parikshit, he said, initially in our days when I was a child, when we used to go to bank, the counter, the person, the teller counter would ask, do you want silver coins or equivalent gold or you want paper currency? So at that time, the paper currency had a value which can be exchanged in silver. Now you go at any place or any bank and tell them you take this 100 rupees or 500 rupees and give me a silver coin. No, you will get. It's all overprinted. So the beginning of this wealth, in the beginning of Kali Yuga, it was benedicted by Maharaj Parikshit that wherever, so this is the origin. If we know the origin, we know what is going to follow. So in the beginning of Kali Yuga, Maharaj Parikshit benedicted, or he told that wherever there is unnecessary holding of wealth, these five things will follow. Falsity, illusion or intoxication, lust, passion and envy or animosity. So this is the main origin of the influence of wealth in Kali Yuga. Because the origin itself, the paper currency is cheating, all the effects it will have will be cheating. And people will increase in greed, animosity. We see in these people, sometimes two brothers, if they are very rich, suppose their father has left them a property of 100 lakh rupees. They are fighting with each other in the courts because one brother wants 60 lakh and is keeping only 40 lakh for the another brother. So they are ready to fight in the court and they are ready to give even 25 lakh to a lawyer, but they will not give 10 lakh to their brother. They won't mind to part with 25 lakhs for a lawyer. But if my brother takes even 5 lakhs extra, it's great injustice. This is how the wealth bewilders everyone in this world. People go mad, they lose their sense of truth, untruth, good, bad, everything. I will just end up this section with one nice story. How it can go to, one of the story which can give the results, how a wealth can bewilder a person's intelligence to highest degree. And this story was told by his guest Anandundan Prabhu in our Brahmachari class. So he said, once there was a very big businessman in Bombay. He was having multi-millions of crores of rupees. And he was having a nice chaste wife. He was having two sons. They were living very nicely. But somehow or other, as I said, wherever there is extra money, all these things will follow, as Maharaj Parikshit has predicted many years back. This mind intelligence also got bewildered. Somehow or other, he got attracted to so-called modern lady who was completely wrong in her behavior and tendencies. But because he was attracted, he said, I wanted to marry with you. And this lady said, how can you marry before you leave your previous wife? And just like Ajamil's case, he gave up his nice chaste wife to get attracted to one prostitute type lady. And suddenly this man, he divorced his previous nice chaste wife, and to fulfill all his desires, he married this hi-fi modern lady and got her home. But that was her first condition, like Ajamil's case you can see. Her first condition that if you want to marry me, the day of our marriage you should buy one Mercedes Benz of 40 lakh rupees. He said okay. So he did that. On the day of marriage, he got a new Mercedes Benz in his house. And for a few days, they are staying. But then, this man found out that this lady was completely rogue within 2-3 months. And he was completely fed up staying with this lady. And Anandanpur said, no, he wanted, no, what to do, I am caught up. So he proposed that no, better we separate. But this lady was also quite cunning enough that if you want to now separate from me, you have to give me half of your property. This man said, you just stayed with me for 2 months and you are claiming half of my property. This is unfair. So he said, this is not possible. I cannot give you half of my property. It's too much. So many millions of rupees. And then this wealth is spoiled so much. Both simultaneously thought of a wonderful idea. This husband and wife. This wife thought, why to all this jhanjat of divorce? If I kill this man, I'll get whole of property. And husband could sense that same thing happening in the wife's mind. And he also thought, this is a good idea. Why to take all this prayer at her feet, please relieve me, take half the wealth and argue over the amount of wealth and court and everything. If somehow that just by spending a lakh or two, if I can kill her, then I can get a whole of my property. So they both could understand that what is in each other's mind. But at the same time, none of them was ready to leave their house. Because they wanted to physically occupy the big property. So they both were staying in the same house, husband and wife, so called. Both were having their own private security in their own house. In one house, there are two private securities to protect husband and wife. I asked Anandan Prabhu, what happened afterwards? Please tell, I have to tell the end. He said, I stopped reading the newspapers. So I also don't know what happened afterwards. But this is a part. This much we know. Because he stopped reading news. He said, I started getting contaminated. So I stopped reading the newspaper. And that's what I heard from him. And I can't tell anything more than that. So but the point remains that as Maharaj Parikshit has told, it has such a degrading influence on all of us. Even Chanakya Pandit, he promised us, or he has said a very important statement. He said, just like Maharani Kunti has said, Janma Ishvara Shruti Shivi, Edamana Adha Puman, Nayava Arati Abhidatum Vai, Tvam Akinchna Gochara. This statement of Maharani Kunti will take a little later. But here Chanakya Pandit has said a very nice statement. He said, Yavonam Dhana Sampatti, Prabhutvam Avivekata, Ekaikam Api Vinashaya, Kim Bhavet Yatra Chatushtayam. And he said, there are four things, just like Maharani Kunti pointed out. Yavonam Dhana Sampatti, Prabhutvam Avivekata. Yavonam is youth. We see all these things come, they go to our head. When a man is young or a girl is young, we see how they walk as if they are the king of the world. Making loud noise of their feet. They speak so loudly on the road as if they are the whole owner of the road. This goes into the head. Yavonam. Dhana Sampatti. Wealth. Sometimes we see a man is he gets intoxicated by it. Madam. Then Prabhutvam. If a man gets a control over another few people, that also intoxicates him. And Avivekata means foolishness. Chanakya Pandit says, Ekaikam api vinashaya. Even one of them is enough for destruction. Ekaikam api vinashaya. Kim bhavet yatra chatushtayam. What will happen if all four are present at one place? Well, this is Chanakya's warning. Yavanam dhana sampatti prabhutvam avivekata ekaikam api vinashaya kim bhavet yatra chatushtayam. So Vedic literatures, they warn us. In the previous times we see, for the Brahmanas, they would voluntarily not accept any wealth. In the modern day, everything is connected to wealth. Education, all the professions which were done by Brahmanas for the welfare of the society, they would not accept any wealth as a reward for their job. Ideally, the Brahmanas would do service free of cost, and whatever donation would come, they will accept. And extra donations come, they would give it off. Actually, in the history, we can say the Brahmanas had a curse by Lakshmi. The Brahmanas will be poor. But Srila Prabhupada says such Brahmanas would be voluntarily poor. Because they knew wherever this wealth is involved, it's very difficult to speak truth. We have experience. If we are going to meet some big man, we have to glorify, oh, you are such a nice man. But in the mind, we think he's such a rascal. You are so much charitable, you give to all good causes. So these Brahmanas, they know if I want to give actual truth to the society,
And exactly for that reason, previously the kings, when they would go to meet the saints for some good advice, they would not go as kings. Many times they would dress very simply, or if not, at least simply they would get off their chariot, take out their shoes, and go in a very humble, meek position to meet a saintly person. Because he knew that if I'm going to meet a saintly person, the wealth is not going to the ingredient which is going to play here. Here I have to go with humility and surrender. Tadvidya pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. We have to go with surrender, humility and service attitude. We can't buy knowledge. Nowadays we can. Nowadays we can buy anything. Knowledge, results, job, certificates. Anything can be bought. But in the real knowledge, the spiritual knowledge, cannot be bought with wealth. Therefore, to get a good advice, people who, even though they were very rich, they would go very simply. They would give off their rich dress. They would not go on their horse carrier or palanquin. As it is etiquette not to come to the law. It is etiquette, Vaishnava etiquette manual, not to come to the temple in a palanquin. Nowadays we don't come, but now we can say in a car, in the sense we can enter a temple premises in our vehicle or with shoes on, or we have to remove it, like our opulent positions. Because when you are going to the Supreme Lord, we have to humble ourselves. In a similar way, we see even previously sons of great kings, they would go in ordinary Gurukul in some forest. And there a son of great king might stay on an equal level with ordinary any other son. Like we see this Drupad Maharaj and Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra? Dronacharya. Drupad Maharaj and Dronacharya, they studied together. Even Sudama Brahman and Lord Krishna. Krishna was the son of Vasudev Devaki. They had become king after Kamsa was killed. They had become of royal family again. But he went to the Sandipi Muni's Gurukul in a forest and stayed very simply. So to get real knowledge, real education, we have to keep this wealth away. We can possess it, we can use it in Krishna's service. But when we went to go to meet a guru or a spiritual master, we should understand, here my material qualifications of birth, wealth, beauty, knowledge is not going to be useful. I have to keep them away. Hang it outside the meeting place. And to go in with very humble attitude. Actually, that was the idea of our Vedic culture. Even Brahmanas, they would not keep any wealth so that they can maintain their chastity, purity, and they can speak the truth for the welfare of the whole world. And they would not accept any money for giving the knowledge. Because in the modern day, everywhere there is money, the truth has gone away. The welfare activities have gone away. As it was told by our Sri Peter Borwash in his book, people, medical insurance company will not pay even 500 rupees bill to a doctor for giving a good advice, because that will stop the diseases of the person. But it will pay millions of dollars for doing an operation. The point is, for good advice, money is not required. It's very cheaply available. But people in this modern world, they think by money I can buy everything. And they get cheated. But after hearing this discussion, sometimes we may think, is wealth so bad? So are devotees supposed to give up all these things? In fact, but the point is, if you observe Bhagavad Gita, whole 18 chapters, 100 verses, nowhere Krishna says, give up your money. Good instruction. But he says, give up your attachments. Give up your greed. Actually, in the Varnashram system, people sometimes they think spiritual life means we have to negate everything. We have to give up wealth, we have to become very poor. This is Mayavadi concept. But no, what's the point if we become poor physically in rupees matter, but we are millionaire in respect to material desires? Bhagavad Gita, when Lord Maharani Kunti says, Janma Eshwara Shuti Shivi, Eda Mana Adha Puman, Naivarhati Abhidatum Vai, Tvam akinchena gochara. So akinchena means of the simple or the poor. But she is not, yes, she is not indicating physically poor or financially poor. Because the, what's the difference is there between a poor man and a rich man if he has millions of desires of enjoyment in his mind. Only difference is one can fulfill his desires, one cannot. But the consciousness is the same. So the Bhagavad Gita is not concentrating on your... In fact, the whole Gita is being spoken so that Arjun can fight. And Krishna says, if you fight, you will conquer and you will become a king and enjoy the kingdom. So enjoy is also there. Bhagavad Gita says, doesn't say give up money. In fact, it says you can enjoy the kingdom, but it has to be proper knowledge of it. First of all, we should understand we have to become akinchana gochara with respect to our desires separate from Krishna. I was discussing today a 7th chapter that he said, Yesham Tvantagapam Gatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam Te Dvanda Moho Nirmukta Bhajante Mam Duravrata. Ichcha Desha Samuthena Dvanda Mohena Bharata. There are two things, Ichcha and Dvesh. Desire and hate. And we all have one original desire to become Lord. Right now we may think, oh, I want to just become a Lord of a city or Lord of a business. But the original desire is, I want to become Lord of this whole universe. And original hate is, why Krishna should be Lord? I envy him. So, Ichcha Dvesha Samuthena. When this original desire and hate is there, atomically we are thrown away into this material world. And what is the process to go back? Yesham Tvantagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam Te Dvanda Moha Nirmukta Bhajante Mam Duravrata. We have to get free from this desire and hate of enjoying in this world and trying to become Lord of this world. We have to understand Lord Shri Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Bhoktaram Yanya Tapsam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Shruhudam Sarva Bhutanam Nyatva Mam Shanti Mruchati. For us, this is the peace formula. What is the peace? Or and without peace, there cannot be happiness. Prabhupada says, without, in the second chapter, they said by Lord Himself, without peace, there cannot be kutha sukham. If the mind is not peaceful, where can be happiness? A person may have millions of dollars, but if his mind is not peaceful, he is unhappy. And how can be mind be peaceful? Krishna says, Bhuktaram Yajna Tapasam. When you come to understand that this water is in this material world, water is there in my possessions, it doesn't belong to me. As today morning, Govind Prabhu also taking some similar topic. He said, it's very easy to earn money for Krishna. Now we say, we are earning money for Krishna. But it's very difficult to spend money for Krishna. We all say, I am earning money for Krishna, I am earning money for Krishna. Govind Prabhu said, when time comes to spend money for Krishna, it's very difficult. So that's the point. Gita is not saying that according to our Varnashram, we are neither hate nor attachment. Gita says, give up your hate and attachment. Gita doesn't say, give up your physical body, commit suicide, or become financially, artificially very poor. Gita just says, Bhagavatam says, Sthane Sthitam Shuti Gatam Tanu Vang Manobhe. The instruction is, if by your karmic reactions, if you got a beautiful body, no problem. Use it in Krishna's service. And don't unnecessarily, artificially become ugly. This is another sign of attachment. Negating something. If you got an intelligent body, perfect. Without getting attached and proud of it, use it in Krishna's service. Preach intelligently. Write books. Whatever you can do. If you got wealth, by your karmic reactions, you have got a business or a job and you're getting good amount of money, no need to give it up. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada once traveled of a Mayavadi sannyasi, he said, once there was a Mayavadi sannyasi, he was showing to be very renowned. She would not collect any single wealth, single rupee. But when he would have a meeting, gathering like this, after the gathering, his followers would go around the people collecting money. But he said, I don't touch any rupee. So just make his point very clear in front of public. What once they did was they put 1 rupee below his asan. And when he sat on the asan, it's burning, and he just got up And people say, oh, he is so renowned. Even he cannot touch 1 rupee. But his agents are collecting all the rupees after the meeting is over. On the other hand, Srila Prabhupada says, I am very open. When somebody offers money to some other people, they want to throw it away or they want to not accept it. But Prabhupada says, I am open with both hands, although he was also sannyasi. You offer whatever money, I am ready to accept. But not a single farthing for himself. To use everything in Krishna's service. His guru has ordered, if you get any money, print books. So he wanted whatever amount is possible. In fact, Krishna gave him. Once in Bombay, Jhu temple itself, there was one big businessman. And he came and told, Swamiji, you are a very big business, expert businessman. You went to India, went to America with 40 rupees. And in 10 years, you have thousands and lakhs of rupees. I also cannot do such a big business. So Prabhupada says, why don't you give up your business and join my business? That is very difficult. Because in Prabhupada's business, we may have money, but we don't own any money. But in our business, whatever 40 rupees, we at least own ourselves. We think we are, at least we are the illusion that we are the owners. Well, if you see in Bhagavad Gita, never Krishna says give up the money. Krishna says do your duty, perform your varnashram duty. If you are a businessman, do business. If you are kshatriya, do that job. Previously, the kshatriyas would have wealth, they would collect taxes. Business. Brahmanas never had any wealth. At least, ideally, they don't have any wealth. They live very simply. There are different types of instructions. One man, sometimes we give only one instruction. This is again very big difference between modern lifestyle education and the Vedic lifestyle education. Everywhere. In modern education, everyone, first, second, 10th, 12th, then BSc or BCom, everyone is forced to pass the same education. After the whole education, you don't know what I am supposed to do with so much education. The person becomes engineer and takes up some job which has nothing to do with engineering. Everyone is into software. They don't learn anything until they graduate. This is modern education. Sabko ek hi sikhao. But Vedic education was very unique. Everyone was given a unique education, fit for himself. As per his tendencies, he was given education. And this is the whole concept. This very, less intelligent concept. For they have this height and weight scale. If you are 5 feet 10 inches, what is that scale? Average weight. If you are 5 feet 10 inches, you don't have 64 kgs. You are underweight. But a Vedic culture, Ayurveda doesn't say like that. It divides people uniquely. Every person is uniquely having a constitution of kapha, vata, pitta. And a person can be underweight by 10 kgs and can be completely healthy. Because of his constitution, bodily constitution. So this is a modern concept. Everyone passes the same channel. And then after Prabhupada says, everyone is given the same education. He is given the education to earn a lot of money. Not at all control his senses. The people all are getting same educated. They are all having a lot of desire to earn wealth. And they are all becoming unhappy and frustrated. In the modern age, if we see, there are thousands of engineers, doctors, and what not. But there are millions of people who are also frustrated. Because they are being trained against their nature. Modern education is everyone passed through the same channel. So this is, in the Vedic culture, if it was very unique. Bhagavad Gita says, do your varnashram duty. And by doing your varnashram duty, if you naturally get your results, whatever money you can get some fame, you can get some name. Like we had one devotee who was, I don't remember exactly, he was a big sports star or something, he was a very big famous person in the West. I don't know exactly what, I forgot. And he was called for a TV interview. A big person. So the moment he went in front of TV, he began his interview. First thing was he took out his beadwork and started chanting. To show the people that although I am a big man, famous, very famous, but I also chant holy names. So yes, if you have name, fame, no problem. No need to just give up artificially. But use that in Krishna's service. At the same time, don't be attached to it. Therefore, if you see, Lord Sri Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, do your duty without much effort, without much prayas, atyahar, without working hard like fool. Whatever material benefits you get while doing your duty, use that in Krishna's service. Offer that to Krishna. And if you want to enjoy in this world, we have to enjoy. We have to, human beings are supposed to be happy. Anandmayo abhyasat. Spiritual life or any life is not a life of moroseness or like unfrustrated. No, spiritual life is life of joyful. As we discussed, kevala ananda kanda. This is like concentrated happiness. Spiritual life is supposed to be life of joyful. Supposed to be in the, it is joyful, only thing sometimes we may not be experiencing. There are reasons for that, but spiritual life is full of joy. Kevala ananda kanda, be happy. Prabhupada says, chant and be happy. It is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, ahituki apratyata yayatma suprasidhati. By performing unmotivated, uninterpreted devotional service, one can become thoroughly happy. So, Vedic culture doesn't say that you give up your material assets and become very bored, frustrated, poor, morose. We see in Vrindavan, people had lot of butter and they would enjoy eating butter and cows. They were having possessions. But man should know how to enjoy. He should enjoy as per Krishna's desire. He should enjoy along with the enjoyment of the Supreme Lord. Then he can really enjoy. Otherwise, if we want to enjoy separate from Krishna, then what is that? Yehi samsparshada bhoga dukkha yoneva evate adyantavanta kaunteya na teshu ramte buddha. As soon as we start to enjoy separate from Krishna, immediately the attachment will come. Like we send a file and an attachment. So immediately we start ask for enjoyment separate from Krishna. Immediately miseries will come. But when we enjoy along with Krishna, as Krishna has desired us to enjoy in this world, then we can enjoy fully. Spiritual life or Vedic culture doesn't mean that you live a life of poverty. No, you enjoy. Human life is meant, soul is meant for being happy. But you have to know how to enjoy. In this material world, especially the modern lifestyle, you have been trained, in the sense we have been trained, to just have unlimited desires. Of enjoyment. That's not possible. We have to understand some facts. By seeing as the modern television has been portrayed on all of us, that all of us want to become Mr. Universe or Miss Universe. I was going to one preaching program on the under Grand Road station. There was some board of some billboard of some educational institute, and they said, become the most wanted accountant within 6 months in Mumbai city. I said, how can this be true? Become the most wanted accountant in Mumbai city in 6 months. What they are going to teach you? So this modern lifestyle, modern education system trains us to have unrealistic, unlimited desires. And to enjoy in the way exactly Krishna has not told us to enjoy. And that's where we end up in suffering. There's happiness everywhere in this world. But you have to know how Krishna is giving us. For example, now this summer season is happening. And as the days pass by, this is a season of mango. Although this year there have been less crop. But just see this tendency. People, Krishna has given them different times or different items to happy enjoy. He gave us mangoes in summer, I think apples in winter, and there are some Kashmiri devotees here, they can tell. They are moving. I think the apples come in winter mostly. Yeah, he's saying yes. So there are different types of fruit. There are different types of fruits in different times of the year, which Lord has given us to enjoy. And they are very good. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate. Krishna has made a perfect arrangement, which is good for that time of year, he has given us in that time of year. But what man wants? I want to enjoy mangoes in winter and apple in summer. So he makes up a big industry to somehow that chemically treat that, convert that, pack that, and some other we get. But what happens? In such type of enjoyment, what results is? Only suffering. So we have to know, human life, we have to know how to live happily in this world. It's not we should not live happily. Spiritual life means if you get name, use it, Krishna said. If you have wealth, But you have to be very careful, as Govind Prabhu was saying in the morning. The only important thing while having money in Krishna's service is we have to always remember that we are servant of Krishna. Having material assets is no problem. Position, name, fame, wealth. But you have to always remember we are servants of Krishna. And as he told in the morning, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he ordered Sivanand Sen, you manage the affairs of Vasudeva Datta. He is having money, but he doesn't know how to manage the affairs. So he told, you manage these affairs. And because Sivanand Sen was having a lot of finances, he told, you use that everything in Krishna's service. Allow sponsor devotees yatra. Allow people to have prasadam. So, never in this Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, don't accept the results of your karma, your own previous karmas, your vanashram duties. Accept the results. But, don't forget that you are a servant of Krishna. Use them in Krishna's service. When you use them in Krishna's service, then only you can be freed from the accompanying reactions. Very important teaching of Bhagavad Gita is, sometimes people think my activity is the cause of bondage. If I perform some action in this world, like doing a job or a business, that is the cause of bondage. The teachings of Bhagavad Gita is your activity is not a cause of bondage. Your attachment to the activity is the cause of bondage. Krishna told Arjuna, you fight without attachment. Arjuna was not wanting to fight, but that was his attachment. Out of his own attachment, he did not want to fight. But Krishna says, no, you have to fight because I want you to fight. But then whatever fruits you get, use that in my service. Actually, if we see, out of the 12 mahajans in this material world, which are shared in Srimad Bhagavatam, many people are very kings. Bhishma, Janak Maharaj, he was a king. And Janak Maharaj's name has been mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. By the Lord Shri Krishna. Asthito Janakadaya. Lok Sangram Evapi. Lord Krishna is telling Arjun, just like Maharaj Janak, he lived his life with full responsibility of ruling a kingdom just to teach common people. So these great people, they are not only kings. In modern education, modern world, we all are taught to become king, Raja. But these people were Rajarshis. They are not only kings, but they are saintly kings. Yes, no problem. Living in this material world, become a saintly man. If you want to become a king, if like that's your destiny, become a king, but become a saintly king. And in fact, if we see Janak Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, who was such a pure devotee, who was not ready to ask anything from Lord Narasingdev. Even though Narasingdev was saying, please take something, please take something. But he also became a king after Hiranyakashipu was killed by Lord Narasingdev. Prahlad became the next king. He ruled the whole universe, the whole planets. Not that, so we have to remove this misconception amongst devotees that to advance in spiritual life, we have to give up material things. But to advance in spiritual life, we do have to give up attachments to the material things. We have to use everything we have in Lord Shri Krishna's service. Anasakta Shavithayan. Yatharayam upanjate, nirbandha Krishna sambandhe, yuktam vairagya muchate. Rupa Goswami has said, if you renounce things prematurely, that is falgu vairagya, bogus renunciation. But if you learn to use your material possessions in the service of Krishna, that is proper renunciation. And in fact, just to check these dangers of wealth, we hear even in Ramayana. In Ramayana, Bharat Maharaj, first he came and met Lord Ram at Chitrakoot, requesting, O Lord, please come and become the king. And if you don't think that Dharasrava Maharaj told you to go into forest, you become king and I will go to the forest. But that did not happen. Lord Ram went to the Dandakaranya forest because he also had to kill many demons, take care of them. When he came back, or before he came back, when he was coming back through that aeroplane from Sri Lanka, he was flying. They had a stop in between, stopover at Kishkinda. Why? Because when this aeroplane has unlimited capacity. Just now I was reading some news that some big plane came to Bombay with a capacity of some 500 people. That's nothing. Tiny bits. You know, Lord Ram's monkey army had millions of monkeys. And none of them were killed. In the sense, many were killed in the battlefield. But at the end of battle, Lord Ram made everyone alive again. So basically, in the end, all were alive. So there were millions of monkey soldiers on the side of Lord Ram and Sugriv. So when the battle was over of Ramayana, Lord Ram was victorious, Ravana was destroyed. When this Pushpak Viman was flying back, his passenger carrying capacity was all the army. Ram, Lakshman, Sita, Vibhishan, Sugriv, Angad, and all the armies of monkeys were accommodated in this Pushpak Viman. And this Viman would fly only at the desire, according to the desires of the owner. So as they are flying back, Lord Ram was showing Mother Sita, oh, this is this place, and here we killed this demon, and here you threw this, your jewels, and all these things. So as the aeroplane came over Kishkinda city, Mother Sita had a desire. She said, please wait. All the monkeys, Vanar Sena, is in our aeroplane. But wives of all the monkeys are over there in Kishkinda Kshetra. I think they would also be happy to take part in our Rajabhishek ceremony in Ayodhya. Please take all of them also. So Pushpak Viman landed as a stopover in Kishkinda. And not only the army of monkeys, but all of their wives and children, everyone was taken in the Pushpak Viman. What is this load carrying capacity? The Airbus or Boeing will fail anywhere. But all these monkeys were brought to Ayodhya. But as the aeroplane was coming, in the aeroplane there were many monkeys, important ones like Sugriv, Angad, Hanumanji. Before the aeroplane came to Ayodhya, outside Ayodhya there is a city, or there was a town or village called Nandigram. And at Nandigram, because Bharat took a vow, because my Lord Ram is in Vanvas, I will also not enter the city, I will stay outside the city. And Bharat would sleep underground, in the sense he had dug a ditch or a hole and he would sleep there. Because Lord would sleep on the ground, he said, I want to sleep on a lower level than that. So Bharat was staying there for 14 years. And Lord Ram was coming back, Lord thought, yes, Bharat is staying in Nandigram. He's outside Ayodhya city. But as you said, these effects of power, as Yovanam Dhana Sampatti, Prabhutvam, Chanakamadir said, controllership, wealth, even one can cause your destruction, what to speak of all four. So Lord Ram had just an idea in his mind or thought. He said, might be, just to set an example that what exactly can happen. Might be Bharat, who is now there in charge of the whole Kaushal kingdom of Ayodhya, kingdom of Ayodhya, although he is ruling by staying outside the Ayodhya town, city, but because 14 years have passed, he might have become attached to ruling and controlling the people. So Lord Ram, he is a supreme person, Maryada Purushottam. He said to Hanumanji, you are a very expert person at judging and understanding things. You go ahead of this aeroplane. You go ahead and meet Bharat and tell him his news that Lord Ram is coming. And please observe Bharat very nicely. He may not speak sometimes out of social etiquette, but observe his movements, eyes, face very nicely. And even you feel a little 1% or 0.1% of moroseness in Bharat, and oh, no, my controllership will go. Yeah, that can happen. If you are in charge of a kingdom for 14 years, although you know that you are not the king, this happens in material world. Even if you get some position, some power, even amongst devotees' life, it can happen. You get some position, some power, some controllership, you can get attached to it, and that can go into the head, as we said. ekamapi vinashaya. Anyone can cause destruction our material and spiritual life. So Lord Ram, being a Maryada Purushottam, his desire was, if Bharat is attached to ruling even little bit, I don't want to go. Let Bharat rule. That was his desire. Lord Ram's desire was, if Bharat has become even little bit attached to ruling and he wants to maintain his control, because he is doing nicely, I don't want to go back. I will again go to the forest. I had a good time. And now there are no demons also. But he wanted to check Bharat. Because that risk is always there. When we are dealing with material energy, Maya, although we might be using it for Krishna's service, the risk of getting influenced is always there. And therefore Lord Ram sent Hanumanji ahead. Go and check Bharat. Is Bharat influenced by power, control and wealth? Or is he still fully in the mood of surrender and service to me? And inform me. And Hanumanji, as he is very expert in all such jobs, he immediately jumped from the Pushpak aeroplane directly to Nandigram, Bharat Kund. And Bharat was staying in a hole underground. He went and he just called out, Bharat, please come out. And he embraced him. And he said, I have good news that Lord Ram is just coming. And he was observing Bharat. But Bharat Maharaj passed the test. He was 100% joyful to hear the news that Lord Ram is coming back. And the Hanumanji did not go back to tell the news, because anyway the aeroplane was coming on the way. So he wanted to spend some time more with Bharat, and they were both talking very nicely. And Bharat just asked, oh, where is the aeroplane? When is Lord Ram coming? Today the 14 years are over. Hanumanji is just see at a distance. And the aeroplane is coming. And the aeroplane, even though Pushpak Viman with millions of billions of passengers, just appeared like a small dot in the horizon. And as the time passed, they were just looking. Just like in a different way, this is like mood of separation and mood of meeting the Lord. Just like the gopis of Vrindavan, they were looking at the chariot of Krishna going to Mathura. It is a completely separate mood. They were just looking. First they were looking at the chariot, then the dhvaj, then the dust. They are looking till the last moment. Similarly, Bharat and Hanuman, they are waiting over there and looking at the aeroplane, which was appearing like a dot and slowly, slowly coming closer and closer. And then they could see, as the aeroplane came a little closer, it was not like modern day airtight aeroplane where you can't see till the passenger come out. Lord Ram was standing along with Sita and Lakshman, just looking. They are in the front seats, and therefore Bharat and Hanumanji could see Lord Ram, Mother Sita and Lakshman. And immediately Bharat offered their obeisances. Then the aeroplane came and Lord Ram and Bharat embraced each other. So in this way, even Lord Ram, he knew this fact. And just to set this, teach us this fact, although Bharat, he is also Supreme Lord and he cannot be influenced by all Maya, material energy. But to teach us this fact, that yes, these qualities, material assets, are very great assets in spiritual life, can be used, should be used, should not be rejected. But even while using them, you have to be extremely careful. As Srila Prabhupada, he warns the devotees. This warning has been given by Srila Prabhupada, but is also being told by Prahlad Maharaj himself in the 7th canto. After he became a king, when he is instructing on Varnashram Dharma, he is saying the same point, that wealth can be the cause of this, as Parikshit Maharaj said, Anurtam, Dambam, Kamam, Raja and Vairam. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj says this wealth can be cause of many miseries. And therefore, Prabhupada warns especially devotees. He says the managers of Krishna conscious movement should be extremely cautious to this point. And managers means we all are managers, because we are all managing our spiritual life. And we are all managing our material life also. And Brahmacharis also may not be having their own wealth, but they have some things under their control for service of Krishna. So here Prabhupada is saying, otherwise the money will be the cause of, as Prahlad Maharaj says, Prahlad Maharaj says the money can be the cause of lamentation, illusion, fear, anger, material attachment and unnecessary hard work. Prabhupada says, otherwise this money the cause of lamentation, illusion, fear, anger, hard work, material attachments. Although, okay, he's telling his first example. He says, when I was living in alone in Vrindavan, I never attempted to construct big temples. Rather, I was fully satisfied with small amount of money to maintain myself. But when I went out for preaching in the Western countries, these foreign Americans and Europeans began to give money profusely. And I started to construct temples and deity worship. This same principle should be followed. When your money is collected, it should be immediately spent for Krishna's service, and not a farthing should be spent for sense gratification. And another warning is there. Money is certainly coming in great quantities, but we should not be attached to this money for our own sense gratification. Every money, so don't think this is only for full time, it is for everyone. Anyone who is having some money, Prabhupada is saying, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, every cent should be spent for Krishna consciousness, for spreading this Krishna conscious movement, and not for sense gratification. This is a great danger. Anyone, when one receives great advantage of money, for as soon as he spends even a single cent of his, especially he's telling for full-time devotees, for his personal sense gratification, he becomes a fallen victim. A preacher of Krishna conscious movement should be extremely careful not to misuse the immense quantities of money needed to spread this movement. So money is needed. Prabhupada is not saying don't accept. As he said, I am ready to accept with both hands. But he is giving the warning that be careful extremely. And similarly, just like full-time duties may require some finances to spread the movement, householders may require some finances to maintain their house. But if that wealth is used in a wrong way, as Prabhupada says, that can be a cause of lamentation, distress, fear, fight, everything, even among devotees' life. And especially, you know, I am telling for those who are in Brahmacharya ashram, but others can also hear in this eighth, because we are Brahmacharis, we have to take instructions from Vamandev, who is one of the best Brahmacharis. He is also called, he appeared in a Brahmachari form as a small boy. So when he went to beg from Maharaj Bali, then although Maharaj Bali offered him whatever he wanted, empires, planets, but Vamandev said, I want only 3 steps of land. Because just hear the words of Vamandev. Vamandev is telling Maharaj Bali, O king, O controller, although you are willing to give me everything and anything, whatever I want, but I do not want anything from you that is unnecessary. This is especially for those, Prabhupada says, who are Brahmanas or in renounced order of life. If a learned Brahman takes charity from others only according to his needs, he does not become entangled. Therefore, we see in that great yajna, in the time of yore, when the Brahmanas were given all golden pots, what did they do? They just left it over there and walked off. This is a real Brahman. Whenever he got more than what he required, he just left it over there. He just walked off. So, a Brahman or sannyasi is qualified to ask charity from others. But if he takes more than necessary, he is punishable by the sinful activities. No one can use more of the Supreme Lord's property than necessary. Lord Vamandev indirectly indicated to Bali Maharaj that you are having more than necessary. Yeah, Prabhupada says here. Lord Vamandev indirectly indicated to Bali Maharaj that he was occupying more land than he needed. And then Vamandev especially tells, okay, here is the point. He says, especially in the Vedic culture, it was taught to be satisfied with possessions which are required to maintain the body and soul together. And Prabhupada says, in the modern age, because there is no varnashram, people are not taught how to be satisfied with only what they need. In modern education, modern civilization, there is so much education. And everyone is trying to possess more and more. Everyone wants more and more. And everyone is dissatisfied and happy more and more. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore required to spread. And further, he says, a Brahman who is satisfied with whatever is providently obtained, he becomes increasingly enlightened with spiritual power. But the spiritual potency of a dissatisfied Brahman decreases just like a fire which is sprinkled by water. So Bali Maharaj wanted to give charity to Vamandev. But Vamandev, he is telling Bali Maharaj that if you are not satisfied or content with water is coming out of your own accord, of your own karmic reactions, then a man can never be satisfied. So this is a very trick over here. Krishna is saying, work hard, do your prescribed duty, but at the same time, be content with whatever we get. Also, whatever we get, be careful to use that in Krishna's service. Otherwise, whatever we get will be the cause of our lamentation, distress, misery, fights, and everything. So in this way, the spiritual life is a great trick. We have to leave a material life, we cannot give it up. We have to get the material possessions, but we have to be extremely careful to use them in Krishna's service. Hare Krishna. So anyone has any comments?